Corinthians 15. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, he reminds us that if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sin. And so we do know that there is the essential of the resurrection. But this morning I want to go past that time of the resurrection into this account of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And especially want to focus in on one specific phrase in this portion of Scripture. And we'll read several verses this morning in your hearing. And we'll use much of this text, remain in this text this morning. But I want to focus in and see it in light of a specific phrase that is in verse number 17. Thank the Lord for the good singing this morning, the privilege of being in the house of the Lord, and certainly ask interest in your prayers today as we try to share the Word of the Lord with you. I'm perpetually hoarse all the time, so y'all probably cannot tell maybe when I do and do not have a lot of voice, but I don't have much at all this morning, and so do pray for us that the Lord would help us help me in the message, and that I might be used of the Lord. I want to try to help you this morning. So let's look in the Word of the Lord in Luke 24, and I want to begin reading in verse number 13 in your Bibles, and you can just remain seated. I'm going to do a lot of reading this morning. And so just follow along with us in your Bibles, if you would please. Luke 24 and verse 13, the Word of the Lord says, "And behold, two of them went that same day," that is the same day of the resurrection, "to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." The things, of course, was the death, burial, and the reported resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for them reported and yet unconfirmed. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? They say unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word, and before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, and which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Now, of course, that was Peter and John. Verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened unto us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour." It's already been a whole day's journey where they're going. They've sat down and had supper, probably took their shoes off and was relaxed, listened to a sermon that covered the entire Old Testament, got heartburn over it all, did not our hearts burn within us, and then got so excited that they got up at the late hour when it was already late when they got at home and ran all the way back to town that same night. They rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem where they started, and according to what I can find, Emmaus to Jerusalem, 6 miles back in the middle of the night, and found the 11 gathered with them, and them that were with them, saying, verse 34, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, I want to focus this morning. I hope that you have followed the story in our reading. I'll not spend a lot of time on the Sunday school lesson of telling the story. These two on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears. They don't know who he is. He reveals himself in the breaking of bread. They go back, tell the disciples. He appears in the disciples. They don't know who he is. They think they've seen a ghost. He eats. He proves that he's alive. And then he tells them about the Scriptures. He preaches to the disciples just as surely as he preaches to those two on the road to Emmaus. And as he declares unto them the things concerning himself, their eyes are also open. But I want to show you a contrast of a couple of verses in the midst of our text this morning. Verse number 17, your Bibles, as he drew near unto those two that were walking, he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Then look down at verse number 52. It said, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually into the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. A tremendous change has taken place from verse 17 to verses 52 and 53. And they start off so sad. And not only are they sad, these two on the road to Emmaus, but they got a whole crew of people back in Jerusalem hidden and that are setting up by themselves in a hideout and worried and afraid, and they are also sad. And the Lord asked them, "Why are you so sad?" sad. And that then he shows them the reason why they could rejoice. And they didn't have to be sad. He was alive and he had fulfilled all the law and all the prophets and had done everything that he promised that he would do. And I want to tell you this morning, we don't have to be sad because the Lord has done everything that he ever said that he would do. He's a promise-keeping God. He fulfills all that he said he would do. And we can rejoice and we can come out of our seclusion and out of our cave and get into the house of God and in the public place and worship and praise and honor and glorify God. Our text is especially in verse 17 this morning where the scripture said that he asked them as they walked why they are so sad. And I want to preach this morning on why some people are so sad. Why some people are so sad. Brother John said in the Sunday school lesson this morning concerning that of Cain and Abel, and especially Cain, that some folks are just mad all the time. Just got that feeling, just got that attitude all the time. Can't even put into words what it is. It's just a grumbling, grouch, and murmuring spirit about them. But many are not only mad, not all of them are glad, but there's a lot of them that are sad. Amen. And their spirits are low and seems like just depressed all the time. There are a lot of Eeyores in the world and not a whole lot of Tiggers. Amen. A lot of folks that have that deep, dark, depressed spirit about them, and not many. By the way, y'all remember, this ain't scriptural, it ain't spiritual, but it's true. Y'all remember Tigger's always bouncing in the wood because that's what Tiggers do best. He's always bouncing and he's always happy, and Eeyore's always whining and sad and moaning and woe is me. And there are a lot of Eeyores in the world. There are a lot of Eeyores in the church. There are a lot of Eeyores sitting on the pew this morning, and you Eeyores know who you are. Amen. And we love you in spite of it, but you're still an Eeyore. And it'd do you well today if you'd just learn how to bounce, because that's what saved people do. We've got joy in our stead, and we've got a reason to rejoice, and we ought to do what they did in verse 52 and verse 53 instead of acting like they were doing in verse 17 and being so sad. Amen. And I realize I don't like that song, by the way. It's on the radio. God's people are happy people, happy all the time. I don't like that song because it's not true. It's not true in that God's people are happy all the time. Whenever folks have got cancer and the doctor says there's no way we can help you, they're not always happy all the time. My little granddaddy is still God's people. Right now, he's not happy at all. He's on death's doorstep and he's suffering a great deal. And he's not happy, but he's still God's people. Amen. And most of his life that he spent for God, he spent very, very happy. And he's enjoyed very much. He's not spent his life as an Eeyore. He's not drug around as sad and moping about all the time. Most of his life, he's been happy. There's going to be some dark times. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live your life all the time with your head hung down. You don't have to mope about all the time acting like you lost your best friend. As a matter of fact, there is a problem if you're saved and you are always on the bottom. Either you won't open your eyes and see what the Lord has done, or, my friend, that you choose to look on the dark side of life. You live like you were born on the dark side of the moon and your mother-in-law's moved in with you and lost your best friend. Amen. And to God, help us not to be that way. Not to be sad. Now, there's a lot of things in this old world you could be sad about. There have been a lot of justifications for them to be sad. I mean, in verse number 20, it would have been easy for them to be sad about the rulers of the day. Verse 20, he said, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. It'd be easy to be sad about the rulers, how the rulers didn't rule right, how the government was messed up. We could run around this morning, all of us, and be sad if we want to talk about the government and the shape it's in. It is messed up. Whether you know it or not, it is messed up. And it's not just recently gotten messed up. It's been messed up. Most for a long time, most of our lifetimes, it's been messed up. But if you spend your time studying all of that foolishness all the time, you're going to be like these people in verse 17 and be sad. We could be sad this morning because of our relatives. Look at verse number 22, what the Bible said. Yea, and certain women also of our company. They're our folks. They're our kinfolks. They're our kind. They made us astonished. They were early at the sepulcher. They told us there was nobody there, and they saw visions of angels, but we don't know what to think about it. And that these are the women of our company. Hey, it would be easy to be sad about our relatives, our kinfolks, our friends. It seems like everybody around us is falling apart. Matter of fact, we don't even know if they got good sense anymore or not. We don't know what to make of it. Anybody ever feel that way? Feel like all your relatives and your friends and your neighbors and the people around you have gone stark raving crazy? I mean, I feel that way sometimes. I wonder what's caused everybody to go so nice, had to act the way that they do, to behave and to do some of the things they do and to make the decisions that they make. And if you dwell all the time on your crazy kinfolk, you're going to be sad. And if you live all the time thinking about the rulers of this world, that you're going to be sad. It'd be easy to be sad about the rebellion that goes on in our world. In verse number 20, he talks about the political upheaval, how that they had to take him and crucified and condemned Christ and crucified him and rebelled against God and rebelled against the Lord Jesus. If we dwelled on the shape of the world's in this morning, it would easily be that we would be sad. Oh, but some folks are not sad because the rulers of the world and the relatives and, my friend, the rebellion in our world. Some are sad because they have never been redeemed. They've never been saved by the grace of God. They don't know a living Jesus. Some just never been saved. Happy is that people who is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. If you're living outside the grace of God, if you've never been born again this morning, if you don't know Jesus, maybe the reason why you're sad is because you never met God. And you realize that all you have to live for is life under the sun. And there's more to death than dying, and there's more to life than living. There is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shine, and there is a Savior to serve while we are yet here. Some are sad because they've never been redeemed. Some are sad because they aren't running the race. I mean, they've been saved, but they quit running. The Scripture asks Galatians in chapter 2 of Galatians, you did run well, but who did hinder you that you not, should not obey the truth? Hey, they used to run, but they quit running. They sat down on God. They quit doing anything. They quit serving the Lord. Oh, this morning, let me tell you, if you are a saved man, you'll never be satisfied. Seated and doing nothing, you'll never be satisfied. Sitting down, hey, you'll never be satisfied. At ease and lazy and to not serving the Lord. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. I have not felt well for the last several days. Matter of fact, last week or so, I've made it through the revival meeting and staying up late and getting up early, primarily by taking medicine necessary to deal with the sinus congestion and the allergies and let's set up some infection. I figure I'll probably have to deal with it a little more sternly this week, but I didn't feel well this morning when I got up. Brother TJ, when I got up, I rolled out of bed and then taking all the medicine upsets my stomach and makes me feel even where I don't even know how to feel worse, you know, with all that stuff. And I got up and went over to the coffee pot and was, well, we don't have a coffee pot anymore. Sonia likes that thing that makes it automatic, whatever, Keurig machine. And this old guy went over to the Keurig machine and watched it squirt coffee in there, you know. I used to pour coffee in, now I just get squirts of it. I went over there and watched it squirt coffee in, and I'm standing there at the coffee machine, and I thought to myself, I have to get it together now. I'm the pastor. I can't go in this morning and be an Eeyore. I've got to go in and be a Tigger and bounce, because that's what Tiggers do. And I thought to myself, if I wasn't a pastor, I wouldn't do that this morning. I'd drink my coffee and get to feeling better and get myself together before I go to church, if I went to church at all, because I just don't feel well at all. Oh, but then I thought to myself, well, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd probably be the Sunday school teacher. And if I wasn't a Sunday, then I'd have to get there anyway. And if I wasn't a Sunday school teacher, I'd probably be a deacon or maybe a song director. And I stood there for a minute, I just come to the conclusion that even if I wasn't a preacher, because I love Jesus, I was going to do something for the Lord. And listen, the reason why some folks are sad this morning is because they ain't doing nothing. I mean, they're sad because they have no purpose. They're not serving. wandering. They're not running. Amen. They're just wandering about in the land of Nod. They're like these people on the road to Emmaus, except they're on the road to a mess. Amen. Their life is headed for a mess. And the reason is because they're not running. They're not redeemed. They're not running. Some folks are sad this morning because they're not reading. Amen. They are not reading. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said unto you. How many of us, my friend, don't believe because we don't know? We just have not read the Word of God. If you'd read this Bible, somebody say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. If you'd read this Bible, you'd know by grace we'll make it through. As somebody said, I just don't know what kind of shape the world's going to come to. If you read the Bible, you know what kind of shape the world's going to come to. I don't know how we're ever going to overcome. If you'd read the book of Revelation, you'd understand that we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of our testimony. If you'd say, oh, I don't know how our children are going to make it. If you'd read this Bible, you'd understand that the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the reason why some folks are sad is because they are not reading. Amen. Now, when I was a little fella, I didn't like to read. I mean, I didn't like to read at all. My least favorite subject in school was reading. I hated to read. And I'm going to tell you something. I still ain't crazy about it. I mean, these people say, I'm going to get in there. You know, I'm so glad the fall weather's here. I'm so glad the cool weather's here. And I'm going to get in there in the living room and build a fire and to curl up with a good book all night long. That sounds like the most miserable evening of my life. I mean, you know what I'd like? I'd like for the good hot weather to get here, get out in the hayfield somewhere, even with my allergies, and work till I'm so tired I can't stand up straight. And then come home and sit on the back porch, hug my friend, and eat out on the back porch listening to the tree frogs and wipe my hands on my pants. Now that sounds like a good night. Amen. But listen, I never have really liked to read. And they used to have to force me to read. Had to make me read. I didn't like it. You know why is the biggest reason I didn't like reading? We were always reading about things I didn't care about. We were always reading about things I was not interested in. We were always reading about things that didn't seem applicable. I did not care if little Susie and little Johnny's daddy took them to the circus or not. If I didn't get to go, it didn't mean nothing to me. Amen. And it's so friend, but when I looked at the Word of God, I realized these were not just stories of something that happened then, but these were truths that mattered to me now. I have found in this book something I cannot stop reading. I'm captivated by. I'm in love with. Amen. And it's so friend, I don't have to wait for the weather to get cool and to build a fire to do it either. But my friend, I can get this Bible, and this is a book that makes me want to read, and makes me want to study, and makes me happy when I read it and realize this does have something to do with me. Little Johnny and Susie ain't going to circus without me. Praise God, the Lord's written this book, and it matters to me, and it is applicable to me in my life. Are so sad this morning because they are not running. Some are sad because they're not redeemed. Some are sad because they're not reading. Some are sad because they're not rejoicing. They just quit worshiping altogether. They come to church maybe, but they quit worshiping the Lord. They sit on the pew and looking like a knot on the log. Matter of fact, they've just come to just sort of blend in with the pew. They're sort of becoming one with their seat. Amen. Hey, if you're not careful, if we didn't dismiss on time, they might get permanently attacked, because they just are not going to move. You could not prize them loose with a crowbar. I mean, they've just become at ease. Amen. They've watered them out of place. And they're not worshiping the Lord. They don't say amen when the preacher preaches. And they don't raise their hand when the choir sings. And they don't bow their head and close their eyes and pray when we pray. And they're here in body, but they're not here in spirit. And they are so sad because they stop rejoicing. They stop worshiping. Oh, and this crowd got happy. I'm down in verse 52 and 53. Not only did they go to church, they worshiped God. Not only did they show up at the temple, they rejoiced with great joy. Somebody said, y'all carrying on too much. Just means we're like these these disciples in the book of Luke. They rejoiced with great joy, and they were continually in the temple. They just went to church too much. Here's what everybody said about them. And they were praising and blessing God. Amen. Matter of fact, Brother Luke, listen to what they had to say. He said they go to church all the time. They praise the Lord all the time. They bless God all the time. And then you know what he had to say about that? He said, amen. That word amen means let these things be so. Hey, we ought to be doing what they were doing. If we're not sad this morning, we ought to be rejoicing, serving God, worshiping God, reading the Bible, and praising the Lord. And some folks are sad because they stopped worshiping the Lord. Amen. Now I want to show you these fellows here in our lesson or in our message this morning. I want to show you these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Maybe two men, maybe a man and a woman. One of them we know is Cleopas. The other one is there walking with him. Possibly it is his wife or a friend of his. A relative maybe of some kind. But I want to show you two reasons why they were so sad. And then a few things about those two things and we'll be finished this morning. But let me tell you, they were sad because they believed only part of the prophecies. They were so sad because they only believed part of the prophecies. Look at verse number 25 if you still have your Bibles open. And Jesus said, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Notice the word, all that the prophets have spoken. They did believe part, but they didn't believe all. They received part of the word, but they wouldn't receive all the word. They received some of what had been said, but not all of what had been said. I'm going to tell you this morning that there is a great danger in only believing part of the Bible, picking and choosing or receiving part and not the other part. Matter of fact, you'll find yourself defeated if you'll only receive part and not the whole. You'll find yourself defeated if you'll only receive some things and not other things. And they believe part. Matter of fact, somebody said the reason why that they were not happy is because they didn't know Jesus has risen from the dead, but that's not so. They had heard about it, they just wouldn't believe it. They had been told about it, they just would not receive it. This morning, if you'll only receive part of the Scriptures, if you'll only receive part of what the Bible says, then you'll never really find satisfaction. You'll never really get rid of that sadness. And you'll never overcome that Eeyore spirit about you. You'll never bounce about through the 100-acre wood of life until you finally realize Jesus is alive and you receive the entirety of the gospel. They believe part of what the Bible said, part of what the prophecy said about redemption. They looked for a national redemption. They said, we believed and we trusted in verse 21 that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Notice they didn't say that should have redeemed us, that should have saved us, that should have washed our sin away. But they said redeemed Israel. They were looking for national redemption. They were looking for Jesus to come, the Messiah to come, and to deliver Israel out of that political bondage to the Romans. And when Jesus didn't do things that way, they didn't trust in him. And they were sad. They were disappointed. Oh, they looked for national redemption. But they didn't understand that's part of his second coming. Amen. And they didn't understand his first coming was for personal redemption. He came with the first time without sin unto salvation. He came to save sinners. He came to redeem the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The next time he comes, he'll deal with them redeeming the nation of Israel. But the first time he came, it was to save sinners. And my friend, they did not believe all of the prophecy of redemption. They didn't believe all the prophecy of regeneration. Like Nicodemus, these people didn't understand what Jesus came to accomplish in regeneration. They said this is the third day. He's died. He's been buried. This is the third day since these things have happened. And they left their story at that. And they did not believe the Christ was risen. And in turn, if he's not alive, he cannot make you alive. Oh, my friend, that Jesus came to accomplish regeneration. He came to make them alive. Oh, my friend, they were depressed by death and what it does. But if we realize that Jesus' death was to pay for our sin, his burial was to put away our sin, and his resurrection was to give us power over our sin. And if Christ be not raised and we are faith, He is vain and we are yet in our sins. But thank God He is risen. And He's risen that we might be risen and be born again. And except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But praise God, you can be surely, as you must be, you can be born again. Of regeneration. They didn't believe what the Bible said about reconciliation. And they were not looking to Christ to become reconciled unto God. They were still looking to an Old Testament land. They had been to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And they had been there to celebrate that sacrifice of the Old Testament. And when they're walking home, they still don't believe in Jesus as their lamb, as their sacrifice. They're mad that He died. And they're sad that He went to the cross. They didn't understand that He became their lamb, that He became their sacrifice, that He died that they might live.
Amen.
They did not understand that He had taken the place of that Old Testament lamb. The Lord had come to bring these people into a right relationship with God through His death. Romans 5 and 10 said, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more then being reconciled, we shall be saved through His life." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18 said, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." And the multitude of the lambs would have never reconciled us unto God, and my friend, but the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was come to reconcile guilty sinners unto the Lord. They were sad because they didn't understand the prophecies concerning reconciliation. They were sad because they didn't understand the prophecies concerning Revelation. Amen. Verse number 18 of our text said, "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem?" He looked at Jesus and said, "We don't know who you are. And not only that, we don't believe you know what's going on." What about that? The Lord showed up, walked with them, talked with them, and they said, "We don't know you, and you don't know us." They did not believe all the Scripture had to say about Revelation. Amen. He was a stranger to them. And they considered that He must have been a stranger in the whole city. They said, "We don't know you. You don't know us. And you don't know what's been going on around here. Hey, you don't know anybody. You must not know anything around here." I'm going to tell you something this morning. Just because you don't know God, do not make the mistake of thinking that God does not know you. And just because that you don't know God, don't make the mistake of thinking that God doesn't know the rest of us. And just because you don't know God, don't make the mistake of thinking that none of us know God. Amen. And not only did Jesus know what them and know what was going on in town, there was a bunch of people in town knew Him. You may not know who Jesus is this morning, but He's no stranger to some of us. Have they heard the report of some? You see, they see you bees of us say, "Well, now his identity was withholding from them." Yeah, it was withholding from them, but the reports were not. They told Him, said, "We talked to some." And the women, they went down there and found the body gone. We talked to Peter and John. They went down there and found the body gone. But we still don't believe. They didn't believe in His revelation. And my friend, they didn't believe in His resurrection. And they only believed part of the reports they had heard. I wonder this morning, do you believe in the reports that you have heard? Would you believe the gospel based upon the Word of God and the record that we have? They knew the account, but they didn't understand it or believe it. They believed in the miserable death and the missing body, but they didn't believe in the Messiah who was resurrected. How you can believe in every part of the gospel except for this, and you'll continue to be sad and your faith is in vain while you're dead in your sin. But when Jesus sat down at supper with them, oh, praise God. Brother J.B., He began with Moses, and He continued through the prophets, and He told them the things concerning
concerning himself. And verse 27, and their old cold, sad hearts had got warmed up and caught on fire, and their eyes were open that they might behold him and receive who he was. And do you have any idea what it's like to hear the reports, to hear the preaching, to hear what other people have to say? But do you know what it's like to sit at the table and the Lord of glory begin to speak to your heart and make alive the Word of God, and you feel your heart warm up, and you get Holy Ghost heart turned, and your eyes to be open, and say, yes, everything God's Word said is true, everything God promised He'll do, I tell you, then you don't have to be sad anymore. Hallelujah. I remember the night I got saved, when the Lord got a hold of me, I mean, I was sad while He was working on me. But before He got done, I wasn't sad anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. When I realized I was a sinner, I was sad about it. When I realized I was under the judgment of God, I was sad about it. When I realized that the payment of sin was death, I was sad about it. When I realized I was guilty, I was sad about it. But when I realized He'd forgive me, if I had to call on Him, and I called on Him, I was not sad anymore. That heavy burden of guilt on my life rolled away. And it didn't have to be sad any longer. Some folks are sad because they just believe part of what the Word says. Number two, these people were not only sad because they believed part of what the Word said, but they were sad because they walked with Christ carnally, and that's all. All they had was a carnal walk with Christ. They're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Brother Tom, we would look at them and say, isn't that amazing? Jesus, right there, flesh and blood, hand in hand, walking with them for 6 miles. Now, any of y'all ever took a 6 or 7 mile hike, you know it takes a little while. Amen. If Brother Randy goes with you, he got to stop with that old rebuilt knee and shake his leg a time or two. He might even quit on you and want to spend a night in a motel somewhere in between one stop and the other. Amen. 6 miles is a long way. He walked with them for 6 miles. We look at it and say, wouldn't that be something? I mean, to have Jesus in the flesh walking with us 6 miles and talking with us. Any of you loves the Lord, that sounds like a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But think about this. They didn't know it was Jesus. He walked with them for 6 miles and they didn't even know who He was. He was such a nice guy, they felt like they could invite Him in for supper and it would be all right to do so, and they weren't afraid He'd steal everything they've got and rob them blind. They were not concerned about this stranger. On the, by the way, somebody else they might have left outside the door, locked the deadbolt fast as they could, didn't want Him in their house. But not only did they like Him so well and think so much of it, and they invited Him in, they even let Him say grace over the food. They even gave Him the opportunity to sit at the head of the table. He obviously made the right impression on them. He knew the Scriptures. But brother, when He started telling them about Himself, they listened and their heart burned with Him. How within them as He walked with them and talked with them and sat down and broke bread. But when He broke the bread, their eyes were open and they realized, this is not just some good fellow that we like. This is Him. This is Him, I'm going to tell you. I'd do more than just walk with Him and realize. Do more than meeting a nice little Jesus that is on your coffee cup or the picture of the Lord's Supper sitting above your living room sofa. Do more than come in contact with the Jesus that is. Have just a little talk with Jesus on page 92. And learn to know Him, for your spirit to connect with Him. Have more than a carnal walk with Christ. They walked with Him, but they did it in the flesh. They walked with Him, but they didn't know Him. Have they walked with Him, but they only saw Him as a man? They only related to Him in the flesh. They knew not the supernatural power of Christ. They couldn't connect with Him in their spirit. And like them, many now have the same problem. Jesus was just a prophet, just a man, and just some nice person. But Jesus is much more than that.
If you'll connect with Him in your spirit, you don't have to be so sad this morning.
Right.
Verses 15 and 16. They are walking with him carnally. They just have him stepping along with them. He drew near. Their eyes saw him, but they could not know him. There are many who think they're walking with Jesus because of their religious way. They've gone to church. They've gone to Jerusalem. My friend, they know the Scripture, but their work is in the natural man. They only know the Jesus of religion. Their walk is according to the law. My friend, these people, all they knew was that. My friend, their fellowship was limited to the natural man because they didn't really understand who he was in the inner man. And I'm asking you this morning, do you know Jesus down in your soul? If you don't, it's no wonder that you're sad. You've got a carnal walk with Christ. Some are sad like these people, not only because of their walk with Christ being carnal, but their worship's carnal. Verse 21 said, we had confidence in Him. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They had confidence in Him. They thought highly of Him. They even believed He could have been the Messiah. But when He didn't do things their way and the way they expected, they lost faith in Him as the Messiah. How many are those who can worship the Lord so long as He's doing things in their lives the way they think that He's should do them, but it is God. You've got to remember that God is God even when He does things that you don't understand. Amen. We don't know why He had to go to the cross. We don't know why our leaders and our rulers had crucified Him, and we don't like that. We really don't even know what to make about them crazy women down at the tomb. You know, they get all emotional about this thing. Them women, all they do is run around telling everybody how much they love Jesus all the time. There's no telling what they'll say. And Peter and John, you know, they're pretty well fanatics themselves. I just sort of hear these things rolling through their minds. You know, we did have confidence. We were real believers. We had confidence He'd do some things, but when He didn't do them the way we thought, we just don't know what to think now. There's a lot of people came to church until something happened in their life that they didn't understand. They went to the Sunday school lesson. They heard the sermon. They shook the preacher's hand. They even said, I believe, until something happened in their life they didn't understand. But I'm going to tell you, if you think you're going to go through life and the Lord's going to do everything the way you expect, you are sadly mistaken, and you don't believe what the Bible teaches, because there's going to be things in life you don't understand. There's going to be things God does you don't understand. And you'd be happy if you'd realize that God does whatsoever He hath pleased. That's what He said in Psalm 115. The Lord hath done what He hath pleased. He don't do what you think He ought to do and what I think He ought to do. You can be happy if you can understand that when God does not do what you want Him to do or not, He's still God. When you don't understand, He's still God. You can shout when things are well and when things seem all out of sorts. If He ever opens your eyes to who He is, there'll be a fire in you even when you don't understand what God is doing. They didn't understand everything while He walked with them and talked with them and opened unto them the Scriptures, but they said their heart set on fire. So quit being sad when you realize that there's something deeper than your carnal worship. And then there's a carnal word involved here. These things, or these two, would have been two of the most pitiful witnesses Jesus could have ever had He not come along and helped them. Can you imagine these two saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in me some Jesus now. I mean, He came and we saw Him. He was mighty in word. He was mighty in deed. He was awesome, man. Until them chief priests got a hold to Him and they killed Him. But we still believe in us in Jesus. And we thought He was going to be the Son of God and the Messiah. And we really thought He was going to be somebody. Of course, then they killed Him off. Don't you want to receive Jesus now? These fellows would have been some pitiful witnesses. Had the Lord not done something to give them a word that went further than their carnal minds could understand. These two would have been awful had Jesus not showed up with them. They could only tell of their carnal experience. They could only tell of what they knew in their experience. I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord doesn't help us, we're going to be pitiful witnesses for the Lord. People who have not had a spiritual experience can never testify of what the Lord really has done. It's not personal unto them until they have a spiritual experience. But when the Lord met with him in the road, when the Lord went into their home, when the Lord sat down at their table, they caught on fire. They ran all the way back to town. They went to witness it in the middle of the night. They told the disciples what had happened. They got excited. They stirred people up. They kept folks up all night telling them about Jesus. I mean, they turned into witnesses on fire when they realized there was more to it than what they thought they were. They became fiery testimonies for the risen Christ. And my friend, they ran all the way back. All the way back to town in the middle of the night. And they said in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed. They didn't say we thought he'd have been somebody, but then he disappointed us. They said, hey fellas, Jesus is alive, sure is the world. And we believe that he showed himself to Simon. We believe the reports of the women. We believe everything that's been said. We've seen him for ourselves. We know this thing to be so. Not only that, we're excited about it, and you ought to be excited too. And before they all got done, not only did they see Jesus, but those they talked to saw Jesus. And did they witness Jesus? And they all got excited and shouted about Jesus. And before the chapter's done, they run back to town and telling everybody about Jesus. They went in the temple and told them about Jesus. They went in the streets and shouted Jesus. They raised their hands and praised Jesus. They glorified Jesus. And the writer of the gospel gets so excited, he throws an amen in there with them. I tell you, they became real witnesses of Christ because they had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you today, why are you so sad? Have you ever had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him for yourself? Preacher, why do you act like that? Because I've been where these men have been. I have met him for myself. I don't have to tell you about Grandma, Grandpa, my friend and the preacher Jesus. I can tell you how he came to me and spoke to my heart and birthed me anew in 1989. And then he walks with me and talks with me and fellowships with me. Oh yes, Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Many of those that are sad and need not to be. By the way, some of you this morning came to church and you're sad and you're in a good place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Maybe you don't know how to get into a walk with Jesus the way these disciples did. But I tell you what you'd do well to do, to get in the presence of those people who have been walking with Jesus.
Amen.
This morning you don't know how to get to where Jesus is. I tell you what to do. Hang around with somebody else who's been where he is.
Amen.
Stay real close to him till you figure out what it is that God's doing in their lives, and then seek the Lord and he'd do the same in yours.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. When they told him how he came to them and became real, he showed up among those that they talked with. Don't keep dragging around lonely or fraternizing with the depressed old world. Get in the presence of those who have a reason to toss aside their sadness and rejoice in the Lord. We know the Lord. And we can have confidence in His plan for our lives and His purpose for us. I'm finished preaching this morning if you come with a song. Trusting Him can bring joy. When they saw Him, they believed not for joy, said verse 41. Verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? You know why that they were in this shape? They thought, well, we're seeing him, but he's a ghost.
Amen.
He's haunting us.
Amen.
Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost, the Lord Himself, has not come to haunt you.
Amen.
He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. The Lord didn't come to haunt you. He didn't come so you'd be scared all the time.
Amen, brother.
They believe not for joy. If you live your life in unbelief, you'll live your life in fear. But if you live your life in faith, you can live in joy.
Amen.
He taught them to understand the gospel. And then they worshiped with great joy when they came to know Him. I wonder this morning, in your heart, and listen, there's people, there's plenty of people in this world, plenty of them in church, that know how to plaster a smile on their face, but they're sad. They know how to look the part, but down the inside they're falling apart. Professional actors. And some of them are not getting paid for it. They know how to put their mask on. These people at church comes in the door and you don't know how deep they are down the inside. You see the outward man and you think everything's well. But down on the inside there's some deep problems going on. It might blow your mind if you knew the people that's dragging things. Anvils of discouragement. It might blow your mind if you knew who this morning came in and sad. Some of them, their wife or husband don't even know about it. Children don't even know. It blow your mind. The times I've come to church and preached with a smile on my face, pounded the pulpit, shouted hallelujah, and meant everything I was saying and doing. But down on the inside, I had to drag myself through the door to get in. You don't have to be so sad. Happy is the people that is such a cliche. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Would you get some help from the Lord this morning? If you've never been saved, get in.
Amen.
Today, if you're on the bottom, you can be on the top. You can get help from the Lord. Everybody stand. I've preached what God's put on my heart.
Good.
It's time to address this thing. It's time to do business with God if you need to this morning. Would you let the Lord help you? You need to pray when you come. Do not dwell in discouragement, and certainly don't dwell in unbelief. Let the Lord help you this morning. Sing for us when you're ready. Living Christ can help you. There's a living Jesus that can help you. Why are you so sad? There's help in the Lord this morning. Pressures of life. Things, other things entering in. It'll choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Setting sun. Are you pleased? Did you lose more than you gained? How won't we learn? Thank you.
this morning. And did you forget? Did you forget that you had Jesus? People all the time, but most of the time, and I'm going to tell you, I'm happy all the time to be God's people. Not happy all the time about everything, but I'm happy all the time to be God's people. Amen.